Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my happy partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And we should all be happy because we have the joy of the Lord. And no matter what trial you are currently experiencing, no one can steal your joy of salvation. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, you alone are supreme over all. Everything is happening according to your word and on your timetable. We know how blessed we are to be living in this hour of your soon return while watching certain events unfold and take shape. Your bride is ready, O Lord, as our souls and spirits are bubbling over with rapture excitement. We continue to pray for our unsaved loved ones. May they accept your shalom while yet time and not fall prey to the enemy's tactics. Bless tonight's program, and may it be a sweet sound in your ear. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
Well, we lost a patriot over the weekend.
Yes, Lindsey Graham was a great friend to Israel and will be missed. His sister, who he raised from her age of 11 after their parents died, is replacing him in his Senate seat till the next election.
May his memory be a blessing.
Yes.
Well, news of the day, we continue to hit Iran.
Yes, we are. President Trump did give the Islamic regime all the chances in the world.
And they failed.
Finally, it looks like we're going all the way. And we had a little help lately from Saudi Arabia, who early on Sunday hit the Sana'a airport in Yemen to stop an Iranian plane from landing to meet with the Houthis. They were, however, able to land elsewhere.
So Yemen closed all airports and its airspace till further notice,
with a warning to the Houthis to stop meeting with the IRGC.
The Yemeni government has been in a civil war with the Houthis for over 10 years.
Yeah, however, the Houthis did retaliate and fired missiles at a Saudi Arabia airport, but they were intercepted. Trump has again closed the strait to all ships going to and coming from Iran. Trump also added that the United States would now be known as Guardians of the Strait and that, out of fairness, Washington would collect a 20% fee on all the value of cargo carried by vessels passing through to offset the costs of securing the region.
And that arrangement would take effect immediately.
Which seems gutsy, since he said no one can own the strait as it is international.
Well, we won't own it, just supervise it, maybe on a temporary basis.
Which for now is a good thing, as we should get it reimbursed anyway, because it does cost a lot of money.
So, let's talk turkey.
Yes. Remember when Trump said he liked their President Erdogan?
Yes, especially because he agreed not to help Iran in the war.
Well, there's more to that story. Erdogan agreed with the understanding that Trump agreed not to help the Iranian Kurds fight against the IRGC. Erdogan hates the Iranian Kurds because he feels they will stand in the way of Turkey ruling the Middle East,
which has been his goal forever.
Well, apparently the Iranian Kurds, again, we're not talking about the Iraqi Kurds who do help the IRGC. The Iranian Kurds, who have a few factions themselves, I think about six of them, asked Trump for air coverage to go after the IRGC. But when Trump was asked about that, he said he didn't want any of the Kurds getting hurt. Well, that may be partly true, but mostly because he made that deal with Turkey, who came out a winner, because in actuality, Erdogan is not a Shiite and doesn't love Iran all that much anyhow, even though he has from time to time cozied up to them out of necessity.
And you have some news on Iran's Northern Railway?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this railway last month and how much cargo is transferred in and out of Iran. This is up in the north. Finally, we bombed it last week, but apparently has been fixed. But is it safe knowing the United States will likely hit it again while insurance costs then have increased significantly? And the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, after 47 years, has finally decided to stop the support for the Islamic regime and announced that the IRGC has now been designated as a terrorist organization.
Well, that's sure been a long time coming.
Amen to that.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. Please consider a love offering. And we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
You know, if these studies are giving you a blessing, then please pray about blessing us. Even a small monthly gift would help greatly with our expenses.
Okay, we looked at Hosea last time, which I think is up on our webpage.
It is, and Hosea showed us that even when your heart is shattered, faith takes over. And Hosea gives us a very interesting account of how God set it all up by telling him to marry a harlot as a great typological picture of how Israel committed spiritual adultery to God. And yet Hosea, as does God, gives unfaltering forgiveness.
A great biblical love story for sure.
Well, the Bible always has been the greatest book in town.
Actually, the world. Amen to that.
Tonight we'll do an overview study on the writings of another minor prophet, Joel, which is a different faith lesson than the prophet to the northern kingdom, Hosea, who, as we said, highlighted the spiritual adultery. In Joel, we see the people's increased faith because of their devastating loss. It's only three chapters, but a powerful life lesson for all of us, particularly in today's fast-paced world.
Joel, this time, was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah.
Yes, around 800 B.C., still during the Assyrian Empire. Now, the first chapter of Joel shows us how, when God feels it necessary, we'll use disaster to get our attention. Joel shows a classic lesson in apathy, because things were good. The land was bearing great crops. The people were enjoying their wine so much so that God, through Joel, called them drunkards. They weren't doing sacrifices, repenting, praying, or going to temple. However, let's be clear, they were not worshiping other gods like they did up in the north.
Rather, they were enjoying life so much that they were neglecting their relationship with God.
And there it is. They were on their way to losing all their faith. So God had no choice. He had to do something.
And he surely did.
Do you know anyone like that that needed God's attention and then got it?
Why wait till God has to intervene?
And then be perplexed as to why God could allow such a thing? Do you realize how much more we pray and talk to God when we are going through something? Now, don't misunderstand us. God also allows things for other reasons.
Sometimes it's just a test.
Or to be a good example to others as to how one handles difficulties, still giving glory to God. But not in this case. Here, the people needed a wake-up call.
So along comes the locust.
Like an invading army, possibly worse than the plagues in Egypt, which they were very aware of as a punishment to Pharaoh. We have seen as well some pretty bad episodes of swarms of locusts just a few years ago, like in Saudi Arabia. Actually, in Mecca, Islam's holiest site dedicated to their false god Allah.
And Egypt has experienced locusts in the past, besides in the Exodus.
Oh, yeah. And certain areas are always being monitored, and smaller swarms are usually reported somewhere as lately in Morocco and Australia. But the biggest swarm of all comes during the tribulation, where giant locusts with the faces of men having severe stingers will be loosed from the pit.
Revelation 9. There are actually thousands of different species of locusts.
But only four have specific characteristics. Did you know that when the foliage and ground is good, that the females dig approximately 4-inch holes and can lay approximately 70,000 eggs in a single square meter of soil?
Joel describes these four types in verse 4. First is the larval stage.
Or the chewing locusts that stay along the ground because they haven't grown their wings yet. So they creep, hop, and chew, and chew, and chew, causing a lot of harm.
Next is the nymph stage.
Or swarming locusts that can go up higher, stripping and cutting the foliage down.
Third is adolescent or the crawlers.
That eat what the swarmers drop to the ground.
And finally, the adult stage.
And they just consume whatever is left. And in Joel's day, there were billions upon billions of them. So many that they darkened the sky.
Kind of like an invasion of a great army.
Joel describes them as having the teeth of a fierce lion, making noises like the crackling of fire. And within a matter of hours, destroyed all vegetation, stripping all the withered trees of barren white.
Everything, even the grapevines, were gone.
So the drunkards would have no wine. And therefore the people all ran to the temple, then to hear the prophet Joel's words. And they cried and they wailed and repented and just begged forgiveness from God. And by the way, this all happened during the yearly season of Teshuvah, which is a 40-day window. We talk about it a lot every year, emphasizing repentance and to return to a closer walk with God. Now this year, 2026, Teshuvah begins in just a few weeks.
August 14th.
Which we will review as we get closer to this season.
But how do we know it was Teshuvah?
Well, because in chapter 2, verse 15, Joel particularly says to consecrate a fast, which is terminology for Yom Kippur, their Day of Atonement, and a day of fasting, which just happens to be the very last day of Teshuvah on Tishri 10.
Anyhow, God did forgive them and restored their land.
Yes. And by the way, God was sure to tell them in chapter 1, verse 3, to relate this story to the children and then to their children and continue down to all generations. So to never forget what can happen when we drift away from his protection. And so we too are passing it down to Christians and anyone else, particularly the unsaved. But by the end of chapter 1, we see Joel begin to graduate now to the future by using the phrase, in that day. And in chapter 2, he compares the locusts to still an even greater plague of darkness and gloominess and fire and destruction, as we have just mentioned, coming from in the book of Revelation. And by verse 4 in chapter 2, he again describes different locusts of a much bigger size, looking and having the features of horses, where the people will writhe in pain.
And they go everywhere, even in their houses.
Now, this part is amazing, in that Joel writes that some future locusts will even march in formation. Now, we know this is describing the day of the Lord's tribulation. And I think it's fascinating because, as we just said, in Revelation 9, it confirms that these creatures will be spewed out from the bottomless pit that will be open for such a time as that.
But then they aren't going to destroy the vegetation.
Oh, right. The fires will do that. Now, these have iron breastplates, hair like women, and big stingers like scorpions to painfully strike men and thereby torment them for 5 months. Interesting. That's the same time the floodwaters were on the earth.
Genesis 7:24.
So, about that locust formation, could you first read a curious scripture in Proverbs 30, verse 27?
The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks.
Not referring to back in Joel's day, but in Revelation 9, because they will answer to a king named Abaddon or Apollyon, and they will sound like many chariots running into battle. So, by the end of chapter 2 in Joel, it's obvious Joel is describing the tribulation. And then by verse 13, he says, return to the Lord. Now, the Hebrew word for return is teshuvah, which is the last 40 days before Jesus returns to earth at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur, their Day of Atonement.
You know, the clues are numerous, and they fit like a glove.
Yes, perfectly, as only God can. Again, we know this because he uses the same phrase to consecrate a fast in verse 15. But for even more confirmation, he tells us plainly that it is on this day of Yom Kippur that the bridegroom and the bride come forth from our bridal chamber, called a hadar in Hebrew. Similar scriptures are in Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21. Also, Joel adds still more confirmation in chapter 2 when he says in verse 17, as the priest will weep between the porch and the altar, which is only done on Yom Kippur, their Day of Atonement.
Then Joel assures them that their land will be refreshed.
He does. Joel in chapter 2, verse 23, also gives them and us the same clue Hosea used about the two major rains, the early and the latter. The spring is when Jesus died on the cross for their sins, and then the fall when he returns as their atonement, when their threshing floor in verse 23 are full of wheat. And the vats are full of new wine.
There is no misinterpretation to that.
Pretty darn plain, I would say.
Yes, Jesus returned some fall season.
Then, the very end of chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, is a kind of synopsis of what the latter days to include right now. And that's how it would look like when he pours out his spirit on all flesh.
Not only the righteous.
Right. Maybe even more so on the unrighteous, perhaps due to our prayers, so to get them saved. Because Joel also says that many will have dreams and visions. And we do see that today happening to Jews and Muslims.
Who then come to the Lord.
Yes. Many, in fact. Also, I must point out, as I have many times, that in verse 31, still in chapter 2, it reads that the sun will be turned into darkness, and most of us have experienced a solar eclipse and a blood moon, and more is coming, especially during the tribulation. But it says they will also occur before the day of the Lord begins. For the Hebrew word for before is panim, and it means at the forefront. A total solar eclipse is scheduled for August 12th and 13th in Israel, which just happens to be the eve of Teshuvah.
Well, now that's an eye-opener.
Then chapter 3 gives us an idea of how he will judge those who ever hindered his people. And the Israeli-Jewish people have been through a lot. Over 1,900 years, they have been outcast, sold into slavery, child trafficking, persecuted, and murdered, with their land taken many times. And still again, we are witnessing those who are convincing the Jews that there is no other way but to give away God's land again. Oh, at first they gave away little areas like Bethlehem, Ramallah, and Hebron, the home of the patriarchs.
But then Gaza.
Right, where they literally pushed approximately 8,000 Jews out of their homes in 2005, and where Hamas still controls, for now.
Hopefully not for long.
Next is splitting Jerusalem, as Zechariah 12 says. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
The stumbling stone and the dividing of the actual ownership of Jerusalem's Temple Mount, in particular, which has and is still being discussed. We don't hear about it, but it's being discussed. And Israel will give up its sovereignty in this area that God won back for them in the 1967 extremely miraculous war. And God will judge those nations that push Israel into doing that. And the good old USA will likely be at the top of that list, which will then also fulfill Jeremiah 30:11.
But the bride of Christ will escape all these things. Luke 21:36.
Praise be. And Israel will be corrected because the majority are apathetic and tolerant of gross sins in their land, joining in spiritual adultery, and Jacob's trouble will arrive. But Joel ends his book on a high note of acquittal and a Jerusalem that eventually abides forever, because we know the end of the story, and it's all coming to a climax. So what can you glean from Joel? Does your apathy need a boost? What are you personally doing for the kingdom? Or are you a lukewarm Christian? Let me better say, do you know any? Don't sit by idly watching your fellow Christian lose the joy of their faith. Step up to the plate. Do an intervention before the locusts arrive. So perhaps you have never made Jesus Lord over your life. Now's the time. Don't wait another moment. Get down on your knees, repent, and just ask Jesus into your heart. It's not that difficult. Then read his word so he can change you from the inside out with a love and a passion for others that you never thought possible. You really just start loving everybody. So give God a chance to shower you with his joy that really is unspeakable. Again, no matter what you go through at any time, that joy of your salvation is still always there. You can't get rid of it. So enjoy it. And make Yeshua Lord over your life, not just part-time, 24/7. Think about him all the time, and when you're not talking to someone else, say a little prayer to him. Just speak to him like he's sitting on your shoulder. And I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22-27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom that otherwise you just could never experience. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in ways that you probably won't even understand or know. That's from Psalm 122:6. You should have that memorized by now. So till next time, again, Shalom. Tell someone about Jesus. Time is running out. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.